Let's read together Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 39. In these verses, the Lord pronounced woes against the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, and he lamented over Jerusalem. Let's begin by reading verses 13 through 36. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done, without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves, that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore indeed I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Let's begin this talk from Matthew with some background notes. In verses 1 through 12 of this chapter, the Lord denounced the Pharisees for their evil practices behind their religious front. Now, here in these verses before us, the Lord continues his denunciation of the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees by pronouncing woes against them. After the Lord pronounced the woes, he called these self-righteous scribes and Pharisees serpents and a brood of vipers. How could they expect to escape the condemnation of hell? Verse 33. These self-righteous scribes and Pharisees are in a lost eternity today. In verse 34, the Lord predicted that this generation of unbelieving scribes and Pharisees would persecute the early Jewish Christian leaders. Not only would they arrange to have the Lord killed, but they would arrange to have his followers killed as well. Remember how Stephen was stoned to death. In verse 35, the Lord said that this unbelieving generation would reap the accumulated guilt of killing the righteous throughout Old Testament history, all the way back to the murder of Abel in Genesis chapter 4, and on to the murder of Zechariah in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And of course, as verse 36 here indicates, it was this unbelieving generation of Christ's day that was conquered by Rome in 70 AD and scattered around the world. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, The Lord is required to pronounce woe on sinful people. The Lord is required to pronounce woe on sinful people. You know, some people think that God can just turn a blind eye to sin or just sweep sin under the rug and forget about sin. No, God is holy, and He has created a moral universe. He must judge sin. Now, God is willing to forgive sinners when they turn to Him and repent, because the Lord Jesus died for the penalty of sin. But God cannot deny His own moral character and just ignore sin. The Lord is required to pronounce woe on sinful people. Now let's look at these eight woes. Woe number one, verse 13. The self-righteous scribes and Pharisees not only refused to enter the kingdom themselves, but they purposely hindered others from entering. You know, the same is true of self-righteous people today. They not only refuse to receive the gospel themselves, but they do what they can to keep the good news away from everyone else, whether it be in the workplace or on the school campus or in the media. Woe number two, verse 14. The Lord sees behind the masks of people who go to church and pray on Sunday, but are involved in false advertising and dishonest gain during the week. It's usually the widows and disadvantaged that suffer the most. It was true then, it is true today. Woe number three, verse 15. The Lord left no doubt about the ultimate destiny of these self-righteous religious zealots. And the same is true today of the religious cults. Their misguided zeal will not save them nor their followers from hell. Woe number four, verses 16 through 22. In these verses, the Lord denounced the double standards of the scribes and Pharisees. They said that if you swore by the temple, you did not have to be as truthful or obligated as when you swore by the gold of the temple. And if you swore by the altar, you did not have to be as truthful or obligated as when you swore by the sacrifice on the altar. How foolish and blind, said the Lord. There are no double standards or levels of truth with God, then or today. You know, I know people today that have levels of truth. If they say, "So help me God," that's one level. If they cross their fingers behind their back when they make a statement, that's another level of truth to them. God sees this as sin. Woe number five, verses 23 and 24. The self-righteous scribes and Pharisees were meticulous about giving a tenth of all their crops to the Lord, even down to the most insignificant herbs. But they neglected the weightier matters of the law, like loving your neighbor as yourself, and promoting justice, and honoring father and mother. The Lord said that this hypocrisy was like keeping a little gnat out of your drink by straining the beverage, but at the same time swallowing a camel, the largest unclean animal in Israel. What a great figurative expression the Lord gives here. You know, there are people today, including some Christians, who are very ritualistic and legalistic about going to church and giving their weekly pledge. But they will take their neighbor to court over some small matter, and they will refuse to turn the other cheek if someone takes advantage of them. These people need to read this scripture. Woe number six, verses 25 and 26. The self-righteous scribes and Pharisees were concerned with external cleanliness, but not with internal holiness. Let me ask you this morning, how would others view your character if they could see your private life? The Lord does see your private life. Woe number seven, verses 27 and 28. The Jews of that day would whitewash the tombs in the rocky hillsides, but no matter how nice the tombs looked on the outside, there was death on the inside. The Lord said that this is what the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees was like. The Lord still hates the sin of hypocrisy. Woe number eight, verses 29 and 30. The self-righteous scribes and Pharisees claimed that they honored the Old Testament prophets because they adorned their tombs and said, that they certainly would have listened to the Old Testament prophets and not killed them. The Lord said that these self-righteous hypocrites had not changed since the days of their forefathers. In fact, they were plotting to kill him. They were plotting to kill the Lord. And he was giving the same message as the prophets. So these self-righteous scribes and Pharisees had not changed their hearts from the days of their forefathers. They had the same heart of unbelief. You know, Judaism today still adorns the tombs of the patriarchs and prophets, but their heart is still far from the message of the patriarchs and prophets. All of these woes have their application to hypocrites within the church today. The Lord is required to pronounce woe on sinful people. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord is reluctant to pronounce woe on sinful people. The Lord is reluctant to pronounce woe on sinful people. Verses 37 and 38. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. The Lord did not want to pronounce woe on Israel. In fact, he wanted to care for them and protect them as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But Israel was unwilling to receive her Messiah. The nation rejected him and crucified him. Therefore, the Lord had to pronounce woe on Israel. In verse 38, he said, "See, your house is left to you desolate. Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed, and the nation would be set aside." All of this, of course, came true. The Lord does not enjoy pronouncing woe upon people, then or today. He would much rather have sinful people come to him and receive his salvation and his care and his protection. The Lord longs to have every sinner come to him and rest under his wonderful protective wings. But he will not manipulate any person's will, and he must judge sin. The Lord is reluctant to pronounce woe on sinful people. Practical application. Don't get the idea that there is a second chance after death. Don't get the idea that there is a second chance after death. Verse 39. For I say to you, you shall see me no more, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now there is no idea here that those who rejected Christ will get a second chance in the future. No. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. So there's no second chance for anyone after death. Matthew 23, verse 39 here, is looking on to the time of our Lord's return. We know from Romans chapter 11 and other biblical prophecies that there will be a change of heart on the part of many of the Jewish people in the future. That believing remnant of the future is the you here of verse 39. They will look on the Messiah whom they once pierced, Zechariah 12:10, and they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The quote here from Psalm 118, verse 26. So practice good hermeneutics, that is interpretation. Don't get the idea that there is a second chance after death.